Well, we're in this series, following Jesus all the way to the cross, and we're preparing our hearts each week, heading towards Easter and all that that means to us. We've been talking about the life of Jesus, looking at his teachings recently on prayer. Now we're going to look at some of just the rich teaching of Jesus that he gave. And this morning we're going to look at the great invitation of Jesus. The passage, we're going to get a little background. It's in the book of Matthew, and Jesus has been doing his public ministry. And I don't know if you know this or not, but when Jesus first came, his initial purpose was to offer himself as the prophesied Messiah, not to the whole world initially. If you look at the language of the New Testament, he initially is coming to offer himself to the nation of Israel, his promised people from the Old Testament. And what happens in the course of his miracles and his teaching is that he is utterly rejected by the leaders and by the people of Israel. And so Jesus turns and he begins to offer himself to the world. And of course, when he goes to the cross, he is offering himself on the cross for the sins, not just of Israel, but for the whole world. And so we find that Israel has gone down from through the pages of the Old Testament, through the history of the Old Testament, through the silent 400 years from the close of the Old Testament to the time where Christ bursts onto the scene. We see that something very, very tragic has happened. That the nation of Israel has taken their relationship with God. They've taken the law and the direction that God has given them, and they've turned it into a religious practice in which man tries to earn a right standing before God, tries to be good enough through the keeping of the law to make God, you know, love them and respond to them. And the religious leaders, those that were kind of in charge of leading the people, took the law of God and they started adding to it. They started adding, they would take like one of the laws of God and they would add all of these other laws around it to try to say, well, this is what you have to do to keep this particular command of God. And they started adding all of these rules and regulations, and the people that were under their, you know, leadership, it was like they just kept piling more and more on their backs. And these people were weighed down and they were so off the path that God had for them that when God in the flesh came and appeared to them, they were so far gone, they were so off the path that they couldn't even recognize God standing right before them in the flesh. And so rather than being ready to lovingly with open arms accept their Messiah, they utterly rejected him. Didn't even recognize him. And so Jesus turns and he broadens the scope of his offer of hope. And this morning we're going to look at what is often considered one of the great passages of the New Testament. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus turns to the crowd and he says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Jesus' invitation to the crowd that day. And that's Jesus' invitation to the little crowd that is gathered here this morning. To you personally. That is God's invitation. I love the way that the Message paraphrase of the Bible reads this verse. I'm going to come back to the traditional, but let me just read the Message version of these verses. It says this: are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That sounds good. I need some of that. How about you this morning? So I want to start with the question of this: who exactly qualifies as the weary and heavy laden? That's who he invites. He says, you who are weary and heavy laden. If you were to actually go back and read the passage kind of leading up to this, he actually rejects a group of people that is labeled who thinks they are wise and knowing. Because those are the religious leaders that have rejected him. So he now turns not to the people who think they got their act all together and perfect. He says, no, I'm going to turn to the people who are weary and heavy laden. So who is that? You may be thinking in your heart, it's me. It's me. And maybe it is. I think there's a couple of groups in the immediate context where Jesus is actually speaking. It's actually a group of Jewish, the crowd that's been following the religious leaders that have been carrying this burden on their back of trying to keep God's law to earn God's love in through religion rather than responding to God and the offer of relationship. And they're burdened and they're worn out by trying to, by what we guess today we would call legalism. You know, trying to earn God's love through my performance, trying to be good enough. And if you've ever been in that mode of being, you know that it wears you out. You know that there's no life in that. And that over time it just gets heavier and heavier because you just can't do enough. It doesn't seem like. And if you're in a real legalistic church or situation, it seems like people just keep loading on more and more you got to do to perform to be right with God. And so that's one form of weary and heavy laden. And that may be, you've maybe been there or maybe you're there. I'd like to think that we're not the kind of church, and I'm not the kind of spiritual pastor that lays burdens on your back like that. But I've been in that mode before, and I've been under that kind of teaching before, and it wears you out. Now, that's not the only thing that leads to a wearisome, heavy-laden, burdensome life. There's also kind of the other extreme, not the religious extreme, but you know, there's something else that wears a person out. It's called a life away from God. It's called a life of sin. And so when you live your life and just kind of live for yourself and you're not really in the religious mode, you're kind of more in the, man, I'm just living my life for me and I'm making my own choices. And here's the deal. Sin is a pretty brutal taskmaster, isn't it? Don't you think? I was talking to a person just recently, and I had not known this person very well, and we were talking. I was trying to get to know him, and I asked him about his family, and he kind of shared with me a story of, and this is a believer, this is a man who's a believer, and he was sharing with me the story of basically how he had really made some really sinful, bad choices in his first marriage. And he was sharing with me how now, many years later, he has a couple of adult sons who will absolutely have nothing to do with him. And as he shared this and tears were coming into his eyes, I could just feel the burden and the pain. And he kind of ended the conversation by saying, "You know what, Pastor Mike? Boy, sin sure carries consequences with it, doesn't it?" He was weary and burdened because of the choices he had made in life. That passage, that our main passage, this idea of being heavy laden, it just comes from carrying the weight of either religious legalism and law keeping to try to earn God's love, or it comes from carrying the weight of sinful choices around and feeling the guilt and the shame and experiencing the consequences, whether that's in your soul, or maybe it's even in your broken relationships or the distance or the regrets. And the result of that, carrying that, is weariness. I'm just tired. It's worn me out. Like life choices have just sucked the vitality kind of out of it, out of life. So this is where the invitation of Jesus comes in. Because that's who he's talking to. And if you qualify, I'm reading through this and I say, "God, I qualify. I'm weary and heavy laden." In this we see, and if you pull your bulletin outlines and just kind of follow along with me, we see actually three action steps that we have to take to kind of get in this invitation that God is offering, Christ is offering. We see three action words in this passage that I opened up with in Matthew 11, three action words that direct us on how to respond to God's offer. And the three words are this: come, take, and learn. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to unpack what you got to do, what I've got to do to respond to this offer that Jesus gives us this morning. And so the first one is this: come to me, Jesus said. And it's Jesus' invitation, the first blank, to a real relationship instead of the heavy burden of religion, or I would add the heavy burden of a sinful life kind of lived separated from God. It's an invitation. Jesus says, "Listen, you, over here, come to me." You know how it is, parents. You got to get your child's attention. Come here to me. And this is what Jesus is saying. Listen, you're worn out, you're tired, you're beat up. Come to me. It's like Jesus is saying, enough trying to live life on your own apart from me. It was never meant to be that way, my child. It's time to come home. It's time to come to the one who can truly save you and fill you and set you on a better path. Come to me, a person, not a religion. Friends, this is Jesus' invitation to turn away from all the other junk and the drudgery that's wearing you out, and to squarely put your trust and your confidence in Jesus. To trust Him, the Savior. Who are we talking about here? Jesus, the Son of God, who came to reveal exactly what the Father is like. If you look at the verses right before this invitation, He just got done saying, "I've come from the Father to reveal the Father, and I've done that, and I'm doing that." If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus, because He's the Son of God. Come to Him. And He's full of forgiveness. And He's full of new life and hope. This word come, come to me, it's actually kind of an imperative. You know what that is? It's a command. Jesus is saying to anyone who will listen, if anybody's weary and heavy laden and will listen to me, what I am commanding you to do, what I am strongly urging you to do, what I really want you to do is turn toward me and come. He's urging you. Come to me. To me, Jesus says. Not to religion, not to trying to clean your life up and get it all fixed up and nice and pretty for God. Come to me, the Savior. For those who have never trusted in Jesus before, this is Jesus' invitation to salvation. This is like, if you've never trusted me for anything before, if you've never understood what I'm here for, this is the invitation that Jesus extends. Come to me for true life. Come to me for true forgiveness. For the believer, for those of us who have trusted in Christ, but maybe we have, as often happens in life, we've kind of wandered off. We've kind of, you know, we were close to Jesus at one time, but life happens, man. It's busy. It's crazy. And I make lots of choices every day. And some of those choices, in fact, sometimes lots of those choices just kind of take me a little farther from God, a little farther from God, back out on my own. I'm not really thinking about God much anymore. He kind of, you know, I think about Him when I'm in trouble. And then I turn to Him. But otherwise, I'm just kind of back out on my own. And so, you know, Jesus is saying, listen, my child, come home. Come back to me. I'm the source. Come to me. Recalibrate your life. Reconnect. Recommit to me. And then He says, and I will give you rest. Anybody need some rest? Now, I'm not just talking about a nap, right? A little bit of a siesta to recharge so I can jump right back in the rat race. Talking about a deep spiritual rest that comes from the presence of God in your life. That's what He's offering here. I'll give you rest. The rest of being in a right relationship day by day with God. The rest of knowing deep in your soul that you're truly forgiven and are a child of God and in His family. It's an invitation to stop swimming against the stream, the flow, and to turn around and start swimming with the flow. It's so much easier. I remember years ago, I was on a missions trip in Africa, and we had an off day, and we went to the Indian Ocean. And I don't know if the waves are normally bigger there. I've been to, you know, both the Atlantic and the Pacific. And the waves were just incredible. And so we did this thing, I think they call it body surfing, but we had to kind of swim out into the ocean as the waves were coming in, kind of as far as we could kind of get. And man, I got to tell you, it just beat me. I just was like in awe of how the waves were just beating me around. I could hardly stand. I felt like a little bitty child. And I was trying to get out there. I was swimming against the waves. And man, that was hard. And by the time I would get out far enough, you know, I would just be like exhausted. I could hardly breathe. It was so much work. But man, then the exciting thing happened. Then you turn around and you go with the waves. And as they come in, if you will, at the right time and in the right way, kind of dive forward and get in the flow of the wave, man, you just sail back into the shore. And you can just feel the power surging you along. Oh, it's invigorating. I think that's what Jesus' invitation is. He's like, people, quit swimming against the flow of my will for your life, my presence in your life. Quit fighting against it. Quit trying to do it in your own energy, going your own way. Turn and get in the flow of what I have for you, of my life in you. And you will find rest. Not rest that's just sitting there doing nothing, but rest that is like I'm in the flow of God. God's purposes and will for my life. So that's the first invitation. The first action word Jesus says is, come to me. Number two, he says, this is your second blank, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. This is Jesus' call to true discipleship. Take my yoke. Now, what in the world is a yoke? I know we're getting close to Easter, and we're not talking about an egg yoke here. Okay? This is an old term. We don't use it much anymore. But basically, the idea is when a farmer would put two oxen together to pull the cart, to pull the plow. He would yoke them together, meaning he would put the two and connect them together with a harness in such a way that the two working together wouldn't just double, but when they would work together, yoke together like that, there would be like this exponential increase in the power that they would have to pull the cart or the plow. Being yoked together with another became a metaphor for discipleship. In other words, a person would, spiritually speaking, would say, who are you yoking yourself to? Well, the Jews of Jesus' day and before were yoking themselves to the Pharisees, and so being yoked to them, at one point Jesus says, it's like when you're yoked to them, they just heap heavy packages, heavy burdens on your back. And that's what leads to the wearisome and the heavy burden. He says, yoke yourself to me instead. Come to me and then take and really be yoked to me. In other words, be connected to me. Commit your life to me, to living with me. That's the invitation of the yoke. In other words, who are you going to link up with in life? Jesus is saying, link up with me. You going to go it on your own, be the Lone Ranger? Is that how you're going to live your life? I don't need God. I'm going to do it my way and my strength, and you're really yoked to nobody. You're just to yourself. That's not God's plan. Jesus says, take my yoke, link up with me, follow me, and I will lead you well, and I will give you my power, and I will lead you. And he says in verse 30, and my yoke, being yoked to me, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And the language there is the idea that it's easy and light because it fits. It gets you in line with your design. You were designed, you were created to live in a relationship with God. And you were designed and you were created to live for the purposes of God. And you were designed and you were created to live in the power of God. And all Jesus is saying is, when you come to me and you yoke yourself with me, life is going to get a lot easier. And it's going to be like that harness, that yoke that the oxen wear. It's like it fits perfectly. And now I've got Jesus, and when I'm with him and I'm moving with him, man, life just goes so much better. Doesn't mean that, again, this is not Come to me and I will make all your circumstances perfect. I will make all your relationships perfect. I will make all of life's problems just go away. You know that's not what Jesus is saying. What he's saying is, you partner with me, you become my disciple, you follow me. And as you go through life that is sometimes hard and difficult, I'm going to give you the power and the perspective to make it through and to do so in a way that honors God. So you get to the end and you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That is the yoke. It says in 1 John 5:3, this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. He didn't give us his directions, how we're supposed to live life, to be a burden. Oh, so hard. He gave us his commands. Love one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Forgive one another. That's not supposed to be a burden. That's supposed to be like, man, life sure works a whole lot better when I do things God's way. It's not a burden. I may need his help to do it, but that's the way it's supposed to be, dependent on God. So let me ask you just, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a committed, all-out Jesus? I'm not just a believer. I'm not just somebody who accepted Christ as my Savior back one day I walked an aisle or I prayed a prayer. But God, I'm all out. I'm committed to you my whole life. I belong to you, and I want to live for you with everything in every area. That's the yoke. Jesus says, if you want my rest, take my yoke upon you. And it's good. Well, there's a third action word that kind of completes the cycle. And it's actually kind of a further fulfillment of taking the yoke. Maybe you would ask the question, well, Pastor Mike, what are you really talking about here? How do you, practically speaking, take this yoke of Jesus and partner with him? And he says, learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn. That's the third action word. Learn from me. This is Jesus' invitation, number three, to truth and life. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? He's the source. Learn from me. In other words, taking the yoke, Jesus just isn't inviting you to have some sort of an emotional experience and then go right back to your old ways. He's asking you to come into a relationship. You see, sin causes us to lose our way and to get disconnected with God. And the invitation of God, Jesus is no, come back and reconnect. You know, it's ironic. We talk about when he says, learn from me. Well, isn't that what the Pharisees were telling the Jews? Learn from us. Follow our ways. Isn't Jesus just saying, well, you know, it's really the same thing. Learn from me. And then he says his ways are easy and light. And there's a misunderstanding going around in Christianity that basically, like, hey, come to Jesus and then just kind of live however you want to live. And you know, he's got your back. Did you know that the teachings of Jesus are actually in some ways more stringent than the teaching of the Pharisees? Think about the Sermon on the Mount, for example. You know, Jesus said, well, you have heard that it is said, you know, don't commit adultery, for example. Well, that's just the letter of the law. But I tell you, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. And he does the same thing with things like hate and in other words, he takes the letter of the law. The Pharisees are all concerned about the letter of the law. And so they build all these other man-made laws around it. And Jesus says, no, I'm actually concerned with your heart. I'm actually concerned with your deep inner motives and your thought life, not just your outward actions. I'm here to change you, in other words, Jesus says, from the inside out. I'm not just here to change your behavior. I'm here to change your heart and your motive and your soul. So when he says, learn from me, he's not just saying, mimic what I do, copy what I do. He's saying, yeah, learn my ways, but let me live my life through you. I have a passage down there from Ephesians 4, practical example of this. This is Paul teaching later after the death and resurrection of Christ. But he's kind of putting this into practice, this learning about Jesus, the ways of Jesus. You, however, he's talking to these Christians, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, talking about learning here, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its evil, deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So, you know, learn the ways of Jesus. Jesus says, learn from me. And what do you learn? You learn, well, I need to put off the old life. God doesn't want me to live in the old nature. He died for that. We sang about it this morning, about his death and taking the punishment for our sins. Put off the old. And then put on that new life that's in Christ. That's just a great example of what he meant when he said, learn from me. And so, finally, in case you didn't catch the end result the first time Jesus stated it in our passage, he comes back and he states it one more time. Number four, the awesome result of coming to Jesus, of taking his yoke and learning from him, is rest for your soul. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Friend, do you really want rest? You who are weary and heavy laden, deep inner soul rest, you know, the kind of rest where anxiety and fear and guilt that weigh on your back like lugging around a bag of big heavy boulders on your back. You want rest from that? Jesus is the rest giver. Not just a temporary shot in the arm, but rest that comes from a relationship day by day with the God who made you, the God who loves you, the God who saves you, and by the way, one day the God who is coming back for you. Rest that comes with working like the yoked oxen, working with Jesus instead of against Jesus. So come, take, learn, and rest. Come to Jesus. All the way to Jesus. Take his yoke. Join him full time. Become his disciple. Learn his heart, his way, his truth. Exchange the old for the new and experience his rest. Let's pray together. Father, what a great and glorious invitation that Jesus offers to us. But Lord, we see here that it does not happen accidentally, and it does not happen automatically. There's some human responsibility that Jesus says have to be met before we can experience this rich, life-giving rest. We have to come to Jesus. It's not offered anywhere else in the universe. There's no other place we can go. All other places are what Jeremiah, back in the Old Testament, called broken wells that give no water. Jesus says, I am the source of the wellspring of living water. Come to me and have life. Oh, help us to quit fooling around with religion. Help us to quit fooling around with kind of a little bit of Jesus, but I'm really living for myself. And help us to come to Jesus. Lord, teach us what it means truly in each of our lives. What does it mean for me to take on me, the yoke of Jesus, to offer my life as a true disciple, a deep follower of Jesus, to learn? And the idea of learning there, God, is not just to learn information, not just to learn facts and figures. Learning has the implication of learning so that I can obey, that I can do the things that Jesus taught. So God, help us to do that. Maybe it begins with us taking the burdens that are on our heart that we carry with us and just saying, God, I can't handle these anymore. I'm worn out. Or I'm the guilt and the shame that's attached to all of this, the consequences I'm suffering because of sinful choices that are just like a heavy burden on my back. God, I need something new. I need you. And so God, right now in prayer, even as we close our, with a song here in a moment, help us to take that time just to do business with you, to come to Jesus, to take upon ourselves the yoke of Jesus, to become disciples, to commit to that, maybe afresh this morning. And Lord, will you give us the rest that comes from the power of God in our lives? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.